Welcome. It's nice to have you here. I'm so glad you could come. This is going to be such an exciting day. I hope you enjoy it. I think you will.
Clearly, folks, we're in some tough economic times. But finally, after months and months of dark clouds, there is some good news.
A stunning turnaround by the banking giant Goldman Sachs.
$3.4 billion in earnings in the past 3 months' time.
Goldman Sachs is on track to pay out as much as $20 billion in bonuses, $700,000 per employee, more than 14 times the average American household income.
Woohoo! We're back! Yes! You hear that? That is the sound of raw capitalism stampeding. Goldman Sachs makes $3.4 billion in profit from April to June. I guess the bailouts are working for Goldman Sachs. How is it happening? Well, it's simple. Let me explain. The U.S. economy is basically a pyramid. And it's taken some real hits lately. Unemployment is at a 26-year high. 6.5 million jobs have been lost. 1.9 million house foreclosure filings just this year. And consumer confidence is at an all-time low. All economic indicators that have left the beloved top of our pyramid, the I, Goldman Sachs, in peril. Because everyone who studies pyramids knows you must always protect the pyramid's I. Pyramids can survive the loss of the foundation, but once they get poked in the eye... Anyway, that's where the government came in. First, they let a couple of Goldman Sachs' competitors, like Lehman Brothers and Bear Stearns, collapse or be absorbed. That can't be bad for Goldman's business. Then, we gave AIG $13 billion so they could pay back, 100 cents on the dollar, the $13 billion they owed Goldman Sachs for the bets Goldman Sachs had made that AIG insured. Then we let Goldman Sachs become a holding bank and gave them $28 billion in loan guarantees to keep their cost of capital down. It's what's known in business as the invisible government-funded scaffolding of the free market. And it worked! Just enough for Goldman Sachs to pay its employees a total of $11.36 billion so far this year. So fret not, America! Your work has not gone in vain. We can all rest assured that... Wait, what's happening? Is there... No, the supports are giving out! Quick! Everybody, throw your bodies under Goldman Sachs to cushion its fall! Children first! They're the softest!
You get nothing! You lose! Good day, sir!
People gonna rise up and take what's there. 'Cause finally the tables are starting to turn. Talking about the revolution.
This Week in Radical History for the week starting July 20th is produced from the mobile fortress of Glee Glee Studios. Thanks to the Slingshot Organizer, the Daily Bleed website, and the Radio Roots crew from WBAI in New York for supplying material you're about to hear.
Little surprises around every corner, but nothing dangerous.
There is something going on in the ether.
The kids are now moving back into the street.
For every Martin they cut down, there must be 100 Martins to step into his shoes.
Week in Radical History for July 20th, we only have a couple items. 1848, the Declaration of Sentiments begin the women's suffrage movement in New York. Also on July 20th, 1874, General Custer and his first official exploration expedition enters the Black Hills with 150 wagons and 1,000 men in direct violation of the Treaty of 1869 that barred whites from the Sacred Hills. Treaties? What treaties? We're the U.S. government. We don't abide by any treaties. Also on July 20th, 1944, German officer plots to kill Adolf Hitler and staged a coup. Colonel Klaus von Stauffenberg left a briefcase concealing a bomb at Hitler's feet during a meeting. The bomb killed four people, but a table leg shielded Hitler. Also on July 20th, 1997, Honduras, announcement of more mass graves of leftists found in military sites by the U.S.-backed government. Lastly, on July 20th, 2001, Carlo Gallini, a 23-year-old Italian activist and anarchist, dies during a demonstration against the G8 summit in Genoa. Gallini was killed in a clash between protesters and Italian military police, who shot him and then ran over his body with a jeep. This week in radical history, starting July 21st, 1916, U.S. Marines land in Haiti again to protect American interests. They'll go back again and again as well, the U.S. having a lot of interest to protect.
The men and women in our armed forces protect our borders and our people, not the financial interests of Folgers, Chiquita Banana, Exxon, and Halliburton. These are not isolated incidents of stupidity. They're part of a long, bloody history of foreign policy being conducted for the financial interests of the wealthy few.
Also on July 21st, 1954, the Geneva Accords are signed, ending the French colonization of French Indochina, a place also known as Vietnam. The U.S. discovering that the French might not be interested, but by God, the U.S. must have some special interest in Vietnam. Within a year, they'll have our first military advisors setting the stage for the Vietnam War. Also on July 1st, 1972, George Carlin is charged with disorderly conduct for performing his famous Seven Words Act in Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
There are two things that I blame for the abysmal condition of this magnificent species that had such potential at one time, and that is religion and commerce. And those are the two things that hinder us here. I mean, the religious people say this is immoral, it is corrupting, and it will do bad things to your character if you even hear these words as a child or a grown-up or whatever. And commerce says if you say these things, the customers and the advertisers are going to run from you.
This week in radical history for July 22nd.
On this day, July 22nd, in 1863, American frontiersman Kit Carson was ordered by the military governor of New Mexico to get rid of the entire Navajo Nation. At first, Carson was shocked by the brutal nature of this plan and attempted to resign his position, but after being pressured to stay, he obediently began the forced removal of the Navajo people from their land. First, Carson and his men implemented a scorched earth policy, burning Navajo fields and homes and stealing their livestock. Carson then began attacking the Navajo strongholds that fought in resistance until the Navajo were forced to surrender. A few months later, 8,000 Navajos were forced to march 300 miles to Fort Sumner, where they were imprisoned for the next 4 years. Over 300 people died during the long walk, and many more died in imprisonment. This is just one of the many brutal atrocities committed against indigenous populations in the land of the free.
Also on July 22, 1938, Joe Louis defeats German boxer Max Schmeling. Because of the Nazi persecution of the Jews in Europe and Hitler's disdain for blacks, the fight had a mystic proportions, with Louis seen by many as fighting to uphold democracy and the race. He succeeded convincingly, ending the fight in the first round. Also on July 22, 1970, during the Alcatraz occupation by Indians of all tribes, the first child was born on the first freed Native American piece of land in the 20th century. Also on this date in 1995 in Israel, four foreign activists break padlocks and reopen the main gates to the Palestinian Hebron University in the West Bank, closed by Israeli security and occupation forces back in 1987.
On this day, July 23rd, in 1846, writer and philosopher Henry David Thoreau was thrown in jail for refusing to pay his $1 poll tax in protest of American slavery and the Mexican-American War. Thoreau had resisted his poll tax for 6 years because he did not support the government's use of the money. Although he was only in jail for one night, the experience deeply impacted him, and he began speaking out about the responsibility of individuals to hold their government accountable. 3 years later, Thoreau wrote Civil Disobedience, an essay explaining how the actions of the American government were controlled by only a few individuals rather than the people. Thoreau's essay was highly influential to many activists.
Also on this day, July 23rd, 1892, strikers battle Pinkerton thugs during the Carnegie Steel Strike in Homestead, Pennsylvania, as the Pinkertons, trying to import and protect scabs, open fire on striking steel workers. In the ensuing battle, three Pinkertons and 11 Strikers and spectators are shot dead. Strikers militantly resisted the private goons hired by Henry Clay Frick to dislodge him from the plant grounds. They fought back with guns and homemade cannon. The strike, however, lasted for 4 months, but the company was able to restore production as winter approached and morale declined. Anarchist Alexander Berkman, on this day, would enter Frick's office and shoot him, trying to revenge the deaths of the strikers. As a side note, later in the year, Emma Goldman would horsewhip her old mentor, Johann Maust, for shit-talking Berkman's attempt. She horsewhipped him on stage and broke the whip afterwards. Also on July 23, 1908, Nazi sympathizer and anti-Semite Henry Ford would sell his first Model T. On July 30, 1938, Hitler presented the highest non-citizen award, Grand Cross the Supreme Order of the German Eagle, to Henry Ford in Berlin. U.S. Senate reports in 1974 on Ford Motor Company's aid to Nazi war effort. Have you driven your Ford in support of the Nazis lately? Also on July 23, 1967, starts out of Detroit upheavals, 7 days of social unrest, fighting with the cops, anti-business, anti-government actions, including looting, results in 43 dead, 2,000 wounded, and 5,000 made homeless. Largest U.S. riots in a century, sparks additional riots throughout the United States. Also on this date in 1968, police kill 7 in standoff with black nationalists in Cleveland, Ohio, triggering days of riots and 4 more deaths. Lastly, on July 23, 2004, preemptive harassment as FBI and Joint Terrorism Task Force investigate infoshops and anarchists throughout the country. In Lawrence, Columbia, Kirksville, Topeka, and St. Louis, agents served several anarchists with subpoenas, ordering them to report to the grand jury on the same day they were planning to go to Boston to protest the Democratic National Convention. Let freedom ring. This day in radical history for July 24th, labor organizer Mary Harris Mother Jones begins the March of the Mill Children from Philadelphia to Theodore Roosevelt Summer Hole in Oyster Bay, Long Island, New York, to publicize the harsh conditions of child labor in Philadelphia textile mills. When Mother Jones first visited Philadelphia, she found child workers as young as 10-year-old with stooped shoulders and missing fingers and hands. In response, she organized the march. Mary Harris Mother Jones led striking children from Kennington Textile Mills in Pennsylvania on a 17-day march from Philadelphia to Oyster Bay, New York, where they hoped to confront Roosevelt in his summer home. About 300 men, women, and children were led by 3 children dressed as Revolutionary War soldiers. Along the way, they raised awareness of child laborers with rallies in eastern Pennsylvania, New York, and New Jersey, and won the hearts of many. When Mother Jones and her army arrived in Coney Island, she was asked to speak. The result of the speech was The Wail of the Children, which was delivered today. When they reached Oyster Bay on July 29th, where Teddy Roosevelt was vacationing, he refused to see them. Our beloved Teddy Roosevelt would be quoted as saying, "The worst foe of the poor man is labor leaders, who tries to teach him that he is a victim of conspiracy and injustice." Of course, the children would have problems reading these reports in the newspapers, since they're often kept illiterate and had no fingers for turning the pages. Also on this day, July 24th, 1925, John T. Scopes, convicted in Tennessee of teaching evolution in high school, fined $100 and cost for monkeying around. Also on this date in 1950, German V-2 became the first rocket to be launched at Cape Canaveral, Florida. Big surprise, as the U.S. provided safe haven for thousands of Nazis following World War II, including known war criminals and hundreds of scientists who developed the Nazi-German rocket program. In the U.S. intelligence, there was no prohibition for hiring anyone in the Gestapo or SS, historians said. This was a don't-ask-don't-tell culture. Also on this date in 1974, House Judicial Committee debates Nixon's articles of impeachment, including obstruction of justice, abuse of presidential powers, using CIA, FBI, and IRS and other federal agencies to violate civilian constitutional rights and to create the Plumbers Group to engage in illegal acts, as well as failure to supply subpoenaed material to the committee. Failure to turn over subpoenaed materials. Same crimes, different times. Lastly, on this date in 1983, women tag U.S. warplanes with graffiti at Greenham Commons in England. This week in Radical History for July 25th, 1648 in New World, York County Court upholds authority of colonists to kill on sight any free Indians they see in settled areas. Also on July 25th, 1930, a white mob threatens to hang ranchers employing Filipinos in Washington, Filipinos being the Mexican of their time, or the Irish before them, or the Polish before them, or the Chinese before them. Just pick your wave of immigrants you vilify and marginalize. Also 1946, the crime, 2 young black couples are killed by a lynch mob at Moore's Ford Bridge over the Apache River. The 4 were tied up and shot hundreds of times in broad daylight by unmasked men. Murder weapons included rifles, shotguns, pistols, and machine guns. The Tuskegee Institute newspaper called it a lynching. The cover-up. Despite the intense investigation by the FBI, the killers remain free. The best people in town won't talk, says Georgia State Patrol officer, on the climate of fear and threat of retaliation that discourages law-abiding citizens to cooperate with the investigation. Again, in 2005, there was another attempt to bring the survivors of the mob to justice, but that failed as well. No justice, no peace. Also on the state in 1969, proving how everyone is equal in the United States, Senator Edward M. Kennedy drives a car in which Mary Jo Capaci is killed earlier in the week, receives a 2-month suspended sentence for leaving the scene of an accident, however nothing for killing Mary Jo.
On this day, July 25th in 1972, the Washington Star exposed the story of the Tuskegee Syphilis Experiment, a cruel medical study that the U.S. Public Health Service had been conducting on 399 poor black men for the last 40 years. The men who were in the late stages of syphilis and lacked access to proper health care were not in a position to deny this supposedly free treatment. They were never told that they had syphilis and were actually left untreated while slowly dying from the degenerative disease. The experiment had continued despite the World Health Organization's 1964 declaration that informed consent was mandatory for experiments involving human beings.
Also on this date, 1983 in Nicaragua, the American right-wing funded Contras torture and kill 15 at San Francisco del Norte. Reagan compares the Contras to the nobility of Abraham Lincoln. Also on this date in 1990, U.S. Ambassador Applegate tells Iraq President Hussein that the U.S. won't take sides in Iraq-Kuwait dispute, or perhaps it will invade and start the first Gulf War. It's one or the other. Also on this date in 1993, Lebanon. Israeli begins blasting targets in southern Lebanon. 130 die by the end of the month. 500,000 civilians flee the bombardment. Tune in again in 2006 as Israel and Hezbollah go at it. Lastly on this date, in 2001, Bush administration, high on image, short on principle, rejects the draft treaty on enforcement of biological weapons ban. Saddam can't have them, but we sure can. This week in Radical History for July 26, 1860, Norton I declares the United States dissolved, turns over temporary powers to state governors, and declares himself emperor. This one-time very rich land speculator living in San Francisco even issues the Imperial of Norton Treasury notes from 50 cents to $20 denominations. Also on this date in 1874, the U.S. orders friendly Indians are to remain in fixed camps in Wichita Agency, Oklahoma Indian Territory, and answer periodic roll calls to stop any possibility of them moving around freely. Also on this date in 1877, 30 workers killed at the Battle of Viaduct by federal troops in Chicago. The Battle of Viaduct, U.S. troops and 2nd Militia regiments and police attack about 5,000 workers at Halstead and 16th Street in Chicago, Turner Hall raid. Police raid the hall during the meeting of the German furniture maker, killing one and wounding many. A judge later finds that the police are guilty of preventing the workers from exercising their right of freedom of speech and assembly. A grim reminder that the true function of police in the Army is not issuing traffic tickets, paying officer-friendly, or defending the shores of terrorism, but keeping its own citizens in line and the nation workers docile in the need of political and business powers that be. That editorial from the Daily Bleed website. Also on July 26, 1909, during the week of July 26 through August 1st, Barcelona presented a spectacular and full-scale insurrection, a largely spontaneous uprising with little guidance from Union and radical leaders, as reported in the London newspaper. What was happening here was amazing. A social revolution had broken out in Barcelona, and it had been started by the people. No one had instigated it. No one led it, neither the liberals nor the Catalonian nationalists, nor the republicans, nor the socialists, nor the anarchists. This, of course, would be a prelude to the Spanish Civil War, for on this date in 1936, the attempted fascist takeover of Spain begins, flattering Adolf Hitler agrees to provide aid to the fascist government. 4 days hence, Germany and Italy provides planes to airlift fascist troops from Africa to Spain. Of course, the United States, France, and England refuse to aid the people fighting the fascists. Also on July 26, 1947, National Security Act consolidates Armed Forces' newly created Department of Defense, replacing the War Department. It further establishes the Central Intelligence Agency, CIA, and the National Security Agency, NSA, and numerous other secret black budget government agencies outside public review and control. This marks what some argue is the beginning of the American global empire building and the end of the American Republic, with its gutting of the Constitution and the slide towards an American police state.
This is your Radio Roots reporter, Hannah George. On this day, July 26, in 1953, Cuban revolutionaries Fidel and Raúl Castro led an unsuccessful attack on the Moncada barracks in Santiago de Cuba. The attack was an attempt to overthrow Cuban President Batista, who consistently protected U.S. interests at the expense of the Cuban people. Upon his release from prison, Castro joined forces with Che Guevara in Mexico and organized the 26th of July movement to liberate Cuba. After peaceful resistance tactics failed, Castro and Che resorted to armed guerrilla warfare, successfully overthrowing Batista in 1959.
One last item for July 26, 1967. Three black men were killed and nine others brutally beat in what was known as the Algerian Motel incident. Detroit police, Michigan State Troopers, National Guardsmen, and private guards who had been directed to the scene, responding to a telephone report of a sniping, the police group invaded the Algiers Motel and interrogated 10 black men and two white women, none of whom were armed, for an hour. By the time the interrogators left, three men had been shot to death and others, including the women, beaten. The resulting Detroit riots included 40 deaths, 2,000 injuries, and 5,000 left homeless, involving more than 4,700 federal paratroopers and 8,000 National Guardsmen to quell the disturbance after this gross injustice at the hotel.
He said the plans for martial law are so off the charts and so horrible. Now understand, we're not talking about foreign invasion.
Quiet preparation for martial law. Now it's all declassified. Now they admit they're going to use foreign troops. Now it's in major publications. Now they're admitting troops on the streets, Marines running checkpoints. This is really happening.
Man, I can't even hit the block. Plus my neighborhood ain't hot. Ain't nobody out here shooting. Ain't nobody pushing rocks. I don't have a warrant pending yet. I always see the cops. They're always on the clock. Fuck with me like I am Pop. My license ain't suspended yet. I don't even drive wet. All my paperwork is current. Insurance is in the deck. But they still want me out the car handcuffed on the curb. They don't smell any weed, but they still wanna search. The story is they pulled me over because they got a call. I fit the description of a crime that I wasn't involved. Oh, you thought a nigga like myself would really be appalled? I done seen this shit a million times. The police do it all. Glendale, Mesa, Chandler, Peoria, worst of them all. Even if illegal, they still don't wanna see you ball. Crooked is crooked does. What it is what it was. The police don't give a fuck, and I hate them with a grudge.
It's the PD Syndicate, petty thugs and thieves for the NWON strategy. Drugs, guns, they're not doing it for fun. They're not ever going to stop it until they're done. It's the PD Syndicate, petty thugs and thieves for the NWON strategy. Drugs, guns, they're doing it for fun. They're not ever going to stop it until they're done. There's three police helicopters out disturbing the peace. Resources wasted chasing after a petty thief. In a police state, the pig is afraid of his own shadow box and anything that moves wrong, for he must fulfill a quota. Useful idiot, as dispensable as the last. Interchangeable faces on the pseudo Darth Vader masks. You motherfuckers are not trained to serve and protect, but to treat citizens as criminals and disrespect. Paramilitary, you see yourself as non-civilian posse comitatus. You were to serve the people and their children. You refuse to see an inch past your own badge, you little monkey. How can you not look in the mirror and laugh? This one isn't for the handful that deserve respect. Officer Jack McLam comes to mind as a matter of fact. This is for those who get off on f***ing with the weak, rape women and fill your pockets fatter than any gangster on the street. It's the PD Syndicate.
This has been This Week in Radical History.
Inside this room, all of my dreams become realities, and some of my realities become dreams.
Thanks for checking out the show. Love to hear what you think. Give me a shout out at themikecannonshow@hotmail.com. That's all one long run-on word, The Mike Cannon Show. Cannon is spelled C-A-N-N-O-N at hotmail.com.
Oh, I wouldn't do that. I really wouldn't.
So until next week, as always, I'm forever yours in the struggle, Mike Cannon.
Good day, sir!
A public relations campaign so deceptive, but so effective. Control has always been the objective. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I stand as a man yet uncorrected. The pig takes orders from a chain of command who no longer has allegiance to constitutional government. The military industrial complex. Look it up if you're not familiar with it yet. It's astonishing. Mr. Officer, I'm afraid it's up to you to abolish it. You hold destiny in the palm of your hands and you never saw it. You're not the law. You shoot patriots as if they were inmates when they gather peaceably to demonstrate that they can demonstrate. You're the knife drove in the heart of the First Amendment instead of a body sworn to protect and defend it. It's the PD Syndicate, petty thugs and thieves for the NWO. N-W-O-N strategy. Drugs, guns, they're not doing it for fun. They're not ever going to stop it until they're done. It's the PD Syndicate, petty thugs and thieves for the N-W-O-N strategy. Drugs, guns, they're doing it for fun. They're not ever going to stop it until they're done.
You get nothing! You lose! Good day, sir!